Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Okay, welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. Thank you for joining us. Rumadge is not here today, unfortunately, so I'm joined by Jolyon Rubenstein. How are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Good to have you back, mate.
Mate, it's nice to sort of feel like I've sort of taken sort of Rupert's skin and sort of put it over his body in a sort of metaphorical,
non-literal way. Well, let's be absolutely honest, he does fuck all on this anyway.
Mate, so he's rubbish, isn't he?
Yeah, there's not a lot of pressure on you.
No, I mean, just apart from just mansplaining and sort of like generally poking fun.
Yeah. I mean, and he only ever really gets excited when we start talking about anything apart from hip hop. So it's like
a, I mean, I'll try and make sure that there's at least sort of one Rick Astley sort of
I remember,
just to like respect his sort of like, you know.
Yeah, if you could take the conversation somewhere else, at some point just for no reason, that would be in keeping with his legacy.
Interesting sort of musical genre quote, sort of like about, you know, the sort of boys' holiday that he's gone on because he still can't land himself a girl.
Yeah.
Love you, Ruth.
It's a really sad life that he leads. What are you up to? The moment your series Revolting's out at the moment, right?
Our series is out on BBC Two, so that's been, you know, exciting. And you know, we just recorded a podcast,
you and I did,
with you,
for
this new podcast we're doing, News Roast, which will eventually
did we agree that you were going to mention it on this? Is that
no, that's the only reason I'm here, mate.
Okay, fine.
It's just title cynical, cynical promotion. I mean, the last thing I want to do is sit in a small room with you.
I get it.
That's what Rupert would say, though. Like, it's me just trying to inhabit Rupert.
Well, he wouldn't say that. It's like, I'm looking at a holiday in Corfu on my own. I might go with my mum. That's what he'd say.
He'd say, gee.
This is the bit where we introduce our guest.
But listen, it's great to have you here. Thank you,
mate,
so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for asking.
And I know you're excited because basically, I'm fucking buzzing because we've got UK hip-hop royalty in the room. Jest, mate.
Thank you.
Mate, thank you for coming on, man. It's so good to have you on. Thank you so much.
Appreciate the props.
I mean,
big fans.
Yeah, huge fans. I'm nervous about coming across like a wanker on this because I'm such a big fan, man. Like, both of us are, right?
Totally, man. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, we were just talking quickly before, but Cosmic Gypsies, I mean, man. That jam was like, I went to a university in Brighton and like everyone knew about that jam.
Yeah,
it was a big, big UK hip hop tune.
Yeah, it had a little life of its own. That tune, kind of thing, you know. I feel like it's like an entity in itself, beyond the artist who made it.
Yeah.
Lion of the Zodiac, know me as a zoomorphic messenger who orbits the regular star, Northern Nebula, storm cloud dweller. Stepping on the interstellar path, let a trail of the lexicon. Alphabet soup, dragon, space suit, sentinel. Keeper of the Stargate, my soul stays chemical. Fold space in several places. Zero gravitational fields, the stars plow my acres. I'm weightless now.
People always come back, that one always comes up. Do you know what I mean?
British football stars.
It's a very, you know, mad respect to Task Force. It's a very Task Force concept in itself. Do you know what I mean? So that just gave me a starting point.
Like,
that's easy for me. If that's the hard part, is coming up with something clever like Cosmic Gypsies. Is that?
Yeah.
You want to do a verse for this? Yeah. Okay. Cool. You know, I'll just go. You know,
how do you act, like? Obviously, I think it's you're sort of held. You know, and obviously I know you wouldn't say this yourself because, you know, you're a humble guy, but you're held in reverence in the UK hip hop scene. How does that fit? Are you aware of that? And does it put any extra pressure on what you do? Like, because people sort of respect you so much, don't they?
It's kind of strange, to be honest, because you, and this might sound really cynical, but more times I kind of walk through I feel like I'm about to start quoting Westwood. I swear.
Always a good thing.
Always a good thing.
We can put some shattered glass on it.
That's what we need. I think he was getting. He was having a little conversation with Mos Def at some point, and he was self-deprecating. And I think he said something like, "I hear my name when I walk through the corridors of power." But the thing is, see, I don't hear my name when I walk through the corridors of power. But when I walk through the corridors of some dirty flats or a tube underpass or, like, you know, a bus shelter, you know, them kind of, it's a weird dynamic, because you kind of feel like there's almost no acknowledgement.
Yeah.
That we ever did any of the stuff we ever did. And I'm not just putting this on myself, I include a whole kind of movement with that. I feel like it's almost just been written out of the history books, because it wasn't ever a media-driven movement.
Mm.
And then I think, you know, especially with, like, the grime movement that came afterwards, it was so... not in terms of the artists, but it was very media driven in terms of people that had something to gain from it and that were involved in it. So it's meant that there's a lot of the history has been kind of like written and established, even though it's more recent history. And and that's something. So in terms of what you're saying about, okay, I know it sounds so corny and cliche. Yeah, I know I got respect in the street.
Yeah.
It sounds so cliche, but it's really true. It's like people come up to me in the street. But if I go and try and talk to people at certain levels of the industry, it's kind of like, sorry, you know, and there is, it's very weird as well at this stage in the game.
Yeah.
When, you know, even with, like, these guys like yourself, there's people that are very deeply rooted in all facets of the entertainment industry. Yeah. And even, like, clothing industry, like, whatever you want to put under the bracket of, where it, you know, because hip-hop has become, like, it's bigger than just the entertainment part of it, you know, it's lifestyle, you're selling whatever off the back of it. But it's so entrenched now, because people have kind of come up, I was at university and that tune. And, you know, it's part of the DNA of a generation.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, it's like everyone's little secret, isn't it? Yeah. It's almost like everyone's like, oh, wow, cool, all right, cool, we're in on it.
It's almost,
and that's
like
cool,
a badge
I kind of like that. Yeah, that's kind
of
cool, but you start getting older and you start wondering what's going to pay the mortgage. So it's a weird... And I feel like a lot of people probably, if you ask them the same question, I feel there's quite a few heads that spring to mind.
Sure.
Some we've already kind of talked about some of their work already. Like, a lot of people, I think... If they didn't feel like that, they probably should feel like that, because they're not acknowledged the way they should be.
Well, how do you feel about, you know, because you mentioned grime, and I think that the way that, like, with grime, with the way that, like, the media jumped on it, it's almost like, and it's, you know, don't get me wrong, I think it's a good thing, but it's almost like that was being heralded as the first time that British urban music had come up with its own sort of sound,
right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And so... That's sort of part of what you're talking about, is that UK hip hop has been going for such. And the thing is, people that were into hip hop knew about the UK hip hop scene and wanted it. And I remember, like, all the way growing up, I remember just having conversations with my mates going, "Fucking want this to blow up! I want this to blow up!" Like, why?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, and people would put out, and UK hip hop artists would put out records about why you're not supporting UK hip hop more and stuff like that. And that became the thing.
Right.
And, like, so now it's sort of almost like UK hip hop, off the back of grime, people have gone, "Oh shit, this has been happening." Like, like hip hop's character. And so for you guys, it's almost like, it's like what you're saying. It's like you pioneered it, and you were doing it when it was hard, like when it was difficult. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying it's not difficult now.
No, I know. I don't.
But like, I was talking to Jolyon about vegan, because I'm a vegan, right? I said, like, 20 years ago, we respect vegans from 20 years ago.
Oh,
they were eating fucking Weetabix, dry Weetabix, like, all the time.
Yeah, it's
so
real
for
talk,
you,
though, I feel you.
You were doing it when there's fucking no money to be had from it. Do you know what I mean?
No, I feel that. I mean, do you know what? I'd even say, like, the generation before us.
Yeah.
Even more so, you know. I think there was kind of like a little bit of a kind of, I don't know if you call it a boom, but there was a little bit of an industry kind of interest in, like, say, like, and this is, again, almost people have forgotten about this, but there's plenty of, like, rap records from the UK from like the late 80s, early 90s.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about whether you're talking about someone who's like mad underground, like Blade.
Yeah, Mark B.
But even before the Mark B. and Blade, just Blade. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whether it's something like that or even, I don't know, like a Credit to the Nation or MC Tunes or some kind of random. You know, like that, you know, whether or not it's like the highest form of the art form, but that had massive impact, on the charts. It's funny to me how like now the charts is the measuring stick for rap, which it didn't used to be for hip-hop. Now the charts is the measuring stick, but it's funny because all the stuff that did... all the UK rap from back then that was charting is kind of like as if they're like Silver Bullet or people went, you know, that was a top 10, top 20 record. Do you feel me? But that's all been written out of, it's weird. It's kind of weird to me.
I don't know if you remember, Ron, like certainly for me, like when the Skits album came out, when like Mark B and Blade, you know, obviously we talked about Task Force, Fire Life, and Roots Maneuver was sort of like, that was sort of seen as, you know, like that was stuff that people were buying CDs of and stuff like that. But you know, the first time I heard like 1979, like the flow that you had and the sort of poetry that you brought, like the sort of, you know, that sort of quite dreamlike quality of that kind of music. I bleed liquid gold and slur speech in a cryptic code. My feet slipping on this twisted road. Only the mystic knows the lone figure in the distance. No bigger than the sum of his inscriptions or the extent of his conviction. I sip vitamin in rich liquid diction and digest fiction for culture. I'm force fed cold, a monster. My head and neck connected by a mold. That was for me very original. I hadn't heard stuff like that by UK lyricists. And you were also using a lot of sort of classical samples, which gave it a real different sort of feel to a lot of the other stuff that was out there.
You know, it's funny because a younger guy who produces for the Mouse Outfit, which is a hip hop band from Manchester, and the producer is a young guy, and he was like, "Yeah, you used to listen to some of them old tunes. It used to make me think of like English country." So I think he said like Midsummer Murders or something. Yeah. No disrespect, but in the best possible way. Yeah. And I was kind of like, no, you know what? I take that as a compliment because that was the kind of the mentality. Was like, well, why can't it sound very English and kind of not on some flag flying thing, but just on like, what am I going to sample? I'm going to sample the kind of sounds that are just commonplace in my society. And, you know, I'm not growing up in a household with bare, like, soul music playing every day. That's just the reality. Sure. That wasn't really what was getting... You know, I'm more likely to be hearing, like, some acoustic guitar record. So why not put an acoustic guitar? I think Task Force very much had that as well. Anytime... I hear like them, some of their music pops up on like iTunes or whatever, and I'm like, it really strikes me now more so because we're so far removed from it now.
Yeah, the boom bap's just kind of.
But even like you're saying with the types of samples, like everything I hear now, I'm like, oh, wow, almost like it still sounds just like them because nobody would really dream of touching these, as you say, like classical or folk or some kind of weird, like...
But that was so original for us. I mean, I don't know about you.
It gives it an identity separate from what people were saying, which what people eventually, the story became, oh, these guys are just doing a version of Pete Rock or these guys are just doing a version of Premier. And it's like, well, not really. Like, we acknowledge the influence because... who could have grown up on hip hop in the 90s genuinely say they genuinely grew up on it and not be a fan of Premier or Pete Rock. That'd just be crazy. Like, you go and ask anyone, you know, go and ask like Dirty South producers. I'm sure they're going to be like, you know.
Sorry, mate, you're being compared to Primo. Is that a problem?
Do you feel me? I think even with the grime thing, people forget like there was a point of reference. I mean, you know, you can't always trust what is written, what a journalist has written down.
Yeah.
But I swear, very early interviews with Wiley, he was kind of name-checking RZA, Eric Sermon.
Yeah.
You know, Eric Sermon. Yeah, like, when does this name come up?
Yeah.
So there is, you know, there's a legacy, but it's going to shift and change the same way what they were doing in the Bronx was their version of what they were doing in Jamaica. Like, it's not everyone, you know. There's a guy called Reveal who used to be in a group called Poisonous Poets, which is like Doc Brown's original crew. And Reveal, I think, wrote a dissertation or a study on this where he actually wrote a kind of social theory that basically broke down that like all of the social and musical and cultural ingredients that led to hip hop like growing out of New York, he kind of wrote an argument for like all these conditions existed in London, in the UK, and that the same thing was happening, and that actually it wasn't imported.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a US export it was developing here in its own way at the same time, before any of these, you know, like the big movies and the big artists that kind of made it commercial in the really, really early days. And I thought it makes perfect sense that this theory, because why not? It's the sound system culture travels from Kingston, Jamaica. And we all know that story, and we know those communities that everyone, you guys grew up in London, you know what it is, right? Yeah. That's a big part of, I mean, the whole of UK, but especially London as the capital. There's a rich history of sound system culture, and also it's the same. It's come from the same place, and then later on, drum and bass, dubstep, and now we're at this point where it's kind of celebrated, like it's. It's a big commercial thing now, isn't it? Sound system culture in the UK and any kind of derivative of it. Quick plug for the Outlook Orchestra. But, you know, it's all this, you know, to be playing with the orchestra at Royal Festival Hall.
Yeah, so it explains us what you're doing.
Well, it's Outlook Festival, which has been, you know, running for a little while now. And when they established themselves, they kind of made a point of kind of just gathering up a small amount of artists and a kind of particular... I guess the kind of music that a certain youth audience was gravitating towards that wasn't really represented yet in the mainstream. And so they started the festival with people like Mala and Scream and whoever, like headlining.
Yeah.
You know, before kind of dubstep turned into the kind of America... Who's the... Skrillex. You feel me? So things before that whole shift... and you know, the festival's just grown and got bigger and bigger and bigger. So they're doing this event, a kind of prestigious thing, Royal Festival Hall, putting an orchestra together with a bunch of different vocalists jumping up, which I'm lucky enough to be included alongside people like Farrah Munch, Foreign Beggars, Ruby Wood, General Levy, Newham Generals. It's crazy lineup.
That's got to be a vibe, though.
Definitely.
Farrah Munch, that same sort of, you know, that's an incredible... plays to it, doesn't it? I mean, we were talking before we the record about just the way, you know, how you build your lyrics is like, you know, you're talking about that dreamscape.
He's a massive influence on me.
Yeah, right.
Big influence.
I feel like Farrah Munch is one of those people that if you name Farrah Munch as one of your top MCs, then we're all right. do you know what I mean?
As a human being.
Because a lot of people even my mates, like, wouldn't name Farrah Munch. And then if somebody says, "Oh, Farrah Munch is one of my favourites," I go, "Oh, fuck it, your shit." Do you know what I mean? Because the way he puts stuff together is just insane.
But I think you it's kind of like being able to appreciate a certain kind of dish or flavour. When you're a little kid, you maybe don't like olives.
What
I mean? And then now it's like, where's the olives? And it's because you've eaten so much McDonald's that you need something, you know, you can't appreciate... You don't appreciate the complex flavours or the subtle flavours.
Stone the motherfucking White House lawn. I threw a rock and I ran. Cause I couldn't stand anymore within the grip of the man. Y'all wanna ask me who's sane? These biological gases are eating my brain. It's a political grab bag to wait Mother Earth. 30 seconds after they bag dad for what he's worth. Thousands to die now, so millions to smile later. This ain't the rock from files, nigga, they stockpile data from satellites.
If somebody mentions Farrah as one of their, you know, puts him up there, they've listened to hours and hours and hours and hours of hip hop and rap to get bored of people flowing and lyrical content being but this guy, he's different. So you kind of, you know, to even get to that point of needing
you start craving,
you feel me? Like, whereas a lot of cats are like, especially with what's popping nowadays, you know, it's kind of like it's just straight McDonald's. I don't know if it's even McDonald's. It's straight candy. It's not even that. It's just candy. It's just like bubblegum.
Yeah, man. But that's the thing, it's like you sort of almost feel like nerdy, like I've been listening to a Pheromones track, and then like my brother will be like, I'll be listening to my brother and I go, fuck, did you hear what he did there? Like the way that that fucking title, yeah, what is it? Yeah, yeah, and my brother's like, I don't, mate. Like, do you know what I mean?
You know what I think is interesting as well is that it's become so that, I mean, I feel like, say, Kendrick Lamar is kind of an exception because in terms of in the mainstream as someone who's very complex, dense kind of lyricism and doing new things and kind of jazz kind of things with flows and stuff. But I feel like there's the it's become so how do I word this? There's so little appreciation, or not even appreciation, it's just, there's less of a place for it in like what people are looking for out of a rap record today. And it's kind of interesting to me how like the whole battle scene has just grown and grown and grown and grown and become like an international thing.
Yeah.
And I've started to realise like, yeah, that's where, you know, the back in the day, you know, you, we might all be getting together and listening to a, let's just use, let's go back to the Pharaoh example. Yeah. So you might be listening to Organized Confusion. You might be bugging out like, oh, did you hear what he did with the flow there?
Yeah.
Your homie might be sitting there just thinking about the beat. Oh, Buckwild killed it with this beat.
Yeah.
Where, but now, the guy who wants to hear the beat is just going straight to like Stone's Throw, looking for some instrumental stuff, like not really bothering with rap.
Yeah.
Right? It's not really, I'm not really messing with it. Then the guy who's looking for the really lyrical stuff is going straight to like the battle leagues and to try and hear those kind of play, wordplay and, you know, this kind of like really intricate.
Yeah.
Do you think... So then, I don't know, does then it almost self-fulfilling prophecy because then, well, that audience has now moved away
it's a weird one from the
actual music. So when people say, oh, no one's making like classic albums like that, but is there an... Are people listening for that?
Well,
like,
I think everything's niche.
Like,
I think the way that people are consuming music is part of the problem because it's consumed in a much more disposable way, right?
Completely.
And that lends itself to a beat being more important than a lyricist. I mean, in terms of to the average listener, because like if you people are listening to 30 seconds of songs and then deciding whether they're into that or something has to be an instant hit, right? Yeah. And so if you get a beat that's catchy, then that's half your battles won. Whereas if you want to get into like listening to the lyrics or something, you actually have to invest some time into it. And I think that is something that people don't do as much as they used to. And I think that I feel that's part of the problem. Do you know what I mean? It's like, is that a beat will get you straight away. Because I never listened to hip hop.
I definitely agree. We're so overloaded with information.
Yeah.
To listen to beats and rhymes together for an hour? I've got to sit down and really listen to this album. Yeah. I haven't got time for this. You know how many times I could go through my Twitter feed in that? And that's what people are on, isn't it? That's what people would really rather be doing with their time.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I remember getting frustrated because, like, with Jolly and talking about what you sample and stuff like that. Because I remember, like, just watch like any sort of music programs, they'd all talk about French hip hop, right? Like French hip hop blew up, like NTM and like things like that blew up. And I remember thinking that they are at an advantage when it comes to competing with US hip hop because the language is different. Because if you're French, if you're a French music listener, immediately you've got the thing where this connects with me more straight away because it's in my mother tongue, right? And UK hip hop didn't have that advantage. And so when we had people like you come through, that were like doing something that sounded quintessentially British.
Right.
That is your degree of separation right there. I'm not listening to somebody who's trying to make an appropriation of something I love from the US. I'm listening to somebody that's making something completely different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
the
yeah.
influences are there, but it is British. And that is, you know, like, I remember like fucking, I lost my shit when I first heard Gunshot, man.
Because
that was like, that's proper hip hop, but I wasn't hearing anything like that from the States, do you know what I mean?
And it's crazy to bring them up because I always use that as a reference point even for grime. I'm like, there were guys in East London rapping really fast over really aggressive like beats with a like a kind of dancehall toasting kind of MC style.
Exactly.
In like 88, 89, or whenever. No, it's probably like 90, 91. When
Battle Creek, I think it was early, early 90s.
It might even be, it's wow, I need to look that up now because it might even be like a 89, maybe not 89, but 1990 for their very first records. Step on the mic, a rapping track. Chap on the mic, I do that. That was just a warning to you. One, you better step back. Stop. Just coming to hear my song, my rapping attack before you sit on top of the rhythm, stop. Yeah, that style, it's kind of like that lineage is still relevant. It's not, you know what I mean? It's like a grime artist might not have been directly influenced by a gunshot.
Yeah.
Or even a Skinny Man. I remember many years ago, someone interviewed me and asked me whether Skinny Man was catting grime style of run. No one says catting anymore, do they? But yeah, that's how long ago, you know, it was. Yeah. Right? But, you know, is he just jacking the grime style of spitting?
Yeah. Crazy.
Because he had his, like, double time shoot, like, with the Foreign Beggars tune. Mate, I was like, yo, but dude's been rapping like this for forever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Before anyone had ever thought of this term of grime, you know, and again, that's not... Yeah, sometimes I feel uncomfortable speaking about this, like I'm disrespecting the guy. You know, absolute mad props and respect to all the pioneers of that movement and that sound. And you know, I'm a fan, but I have an issue with how it's dealt with by the media and radio, and you know, whoever, not like, you know, acting like it's this completely new thing. Like there is a like if you know, as someone who was listening to Gunshot, you probably get some of that same kind of vibe when you hear Newham General come like them man are art. It's like, oh, you know, whoa, like that energy of like that very like pent up British angry. It's, you know, Aggie, it's like vibes. Yeah, it's like if, you know, if we were in a hot country, it might sound a bit funky, like a bit more, you know, the bass might be a bit more of a happy bass melody or like mellow bass. We come with the dark bass. Do you know what I mean? And the aggressive drum sound, that, you know what I mean, there's a very, I mean, in fact there's a direct link, because that kind of sound with the gunshot stuff where it was like Amon Brothers breakbeat and Apache and, you know, whatever, like the fast breakbeats kind of turned into jungle, into drum and bass. You know, and that kind of, that is acknowledged. It is acknowledged that drum and bass and jungle had an influence on grime and garage MCs and what we now is now, you know, treated by the media as kind of like the real rap of England. It's like, well, it still is a direct lineage throughout it.
Yeah.
Sort of sounds to me like a lot of what you're saying is kind of like that you and sort of maybe other artists sort of don't necessarily feel like your place within the sort of architecture of sort of hip hop in the last kind of sort of 10 years has been sort of recognised. But I actually think certainly from, you know, people I've spoke to before and from, you know, it's obviously completely different as the artist, but like Brain Tax, Phylife, you know, yourself, you know, Task Force. I think with the internet now, like I was talking to my 19-year-old cousin and he, you know, he wasn't around at all, but because of YouTube and stuff, like people are still rediscovering stuff. Like he was talking to me about Liquid Diction, you know, around Christmas. And I think there's probably a lot more people than maybe can recognise. Like,
I think the difference is that like, that is, I think you're right. And I think that if people sort of listen to stuff and then they are inclined to go and dig deeper and see it, then that's good. And I think that does happen. But I think what it is that the way that, like, you know, it's like when The Guardian like jumped on grime and started trumpeting it, it was almost like this is the first time that we're hearing people from those areas talking in the way that they are about life in this country. And you're sort of, well, it's not, that isn't true.
It's,
do you know what I mean?
Technically,
But, and they sort of, and I think that, I mean, I guess for you, you're sort of looking at it going, I've been doing this.
Do you know what? I mean, for me, I'm not, the thing is, because I get quite like, I'm very opinionated about it, but you know what? Genuinely, I mean, like I have my own internal battles with it, you know, where it's like, I feel like doors might be closed or whatever. But actually, to be fully honest, I feel I could step away and say, you know, I'm gonna do, you know, or not even do something different, but just do something in my own way. I don't need to even involve myself in the wider music industry or entertainment industry, and definitely not the celebrity culture that we kind of live in now. But as a fan, and as like, and as like someone who's getting older feeling like, yo, we, you know, if history is written by the winners, right? Like, if we don't write it down, it's not there. Like, I know you're saying, you know, it's there's stuff there. You can go online, you can find...
Because the
music's there. See, that's the thing. That if the music's there, the music's always going to be there. But I just feel like, you know, like, say, for example, and I actually, shame to say it, I didn't actually see it, but, like, Rodney P did the documentary a little while ago. You know, things like that. That, I know, you know, you could just see by the response that people had, it was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, some acknowledgement, because it's like Rodney should be in that kind of position to be doing that. That goes without saying.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's almost like an artist, like, you know, for those that don't know, Rodney P from London Posse, this is who we're talking about, I'm talking about. You know, artists like that, to me, it should kind of be, like, whatever he does should automatically be considered for playlist on One Extra or even a rate. No, do you know what? Forget One Extra. On Radio 1.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be this ghettoization and then, like, this filter system.
Yeah.
You feel me? And because it should be based on, like, regardless of who's plugging it and, you know, who got paid to promote it or what the content of it is, it should just be on a level of, this guy's got a fan base across generations.
Yeah.
So, therefore, there's... people want to hear this.
Yeah.
Which isn't, you know, we all know that's not really how the industry runs. Idealistic talk.
Do you think that, like, because obviously, you know, 2002, I think, like, Return of the Drifter came out.
And there wasn't
even Facebook then. You know, wasn't even social networks. Like, do you think that Low Life and particularly, like, EPs like that and you near the album you came out with Life, they would have had a sort of different sort of, you know, reality if social media had been sort of in existence?
Yeah, but it's kind of like the whole landscape would have been different. It changed the whole... I don't think we would have made those records. I think part of the reason the type of music that's getting made today, people are listening to it on a level where it's disposable. This isn't everything as well. I don't want to be the old guy who's like, all this new stuff is...
All these new kids.
But, you know, a lot of the kind of, like, you know, we know what's good and what's not. You know, and there's a lot of young guys doing good, like, dope stuff, right? Yeah. But we also know there's some whackness out here, right? It's so disposable, but it's not only that the people are listening in that way, it's being made in that way.
Yeah.
Like, this is hot now. If we get this song out this week, it's a hit. If we sit on this song for like a year, we're going to have to bin it because it ain't going to be hot in a year.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're really trying to make something that's going to stand the test of time, you kind of have to take that risk. You have to be in a situation where you're like, you know, I'm going to be real. In my case, sometimes it's like 5 years down the line and I'm like, right, this track on this album, we actually did this track. But, you know, I know it shouldn't be like that. But then, you know, the flip side is like, well, I still feel like it stands up now. I still would put it on this new record now. So it still, you know, sounds good enough to me this many years later.
Yeah.
And sometimes what you think, like, let's say a record, I did a song called England, and when I did it...
What an amazing song.
Got a stack of chips and that's the way it is, yo. Living in the city is turning Billy schizophrenic. It's a blood money epidemic. Kids rock academics, but they're not academic. Better stop for a second. Take a look around you. Demons surround you. Evil is all powerful. Love is up against the ropes. It's God's downfall. Lucifer reigns. The future remains doubtful. The gloves are...
So when I actually recorded that song, it felt very, like, typical of the state of play.
Yeah.
Like, what you know what I mean? It felt like...
Yeah, for me, it was about state of the nation, wasn't it?
But this is what I'm saying. It was done, like, maybe, like, 5 years before it came out. When it came out, the riots had happened. Everyone was like, Jess, wow, listen to this song. And in my head, I'm thinking, if I put that out when I did it, people would have turned their nose up at it. Like, no, people would have felt it, but it wouldn't have had the impact because... I did it at the time when that was kind of like the one of the kind of go-to topics.
Yeah,
you know, some UK hip hop. They're probably going to be whinging about the government and being on benefits and smoking weed. Like, do you know what I mean? It like ticked a lot of boxes of like UK rap cliche checklist. Tick every box. Yeah. So if I genuinely believe this. Like, and the same guy who did the beat Butcher. You know, he's gone on to do. You know, he works with like. He works with Lloyd Banks from G-Unit. Like, he works with, like, you know, America exhibit is helping him get his green card. You know, this guy is, he's moving in.
Pimp my green card.
No doubt.
That's exactly. As a favour. That's not what exhibit's moved into now. Like, he's doing immigration shit.
You never know.
He's going to get you a green card.
Do you feel me? Yeah. But, you know, this guy, you know, and again, I even feel for him. Like, actually, if we put that out when we did it, it would have been a reason to say, oh, yeah, this beat butcher guy, oh, he just makes that UK rap, like, boom, bap. Boom bap drums, piano sample, some guy rapping on it, whinging about the government. Like, actually, I went to Australia and people were like, oh, yo, people were like, you're bagging on your country, mate. You can't be, you know, and wow. People saying how they had to, like, defend me. Like, no, he's not. He's just trying to, like, because the way I see it when I do records like that, I'm talking about talking for the people. Like, it's not It's not unpatriotic. Because the country is the people in it.
Yeah.
You feel me? But that's a whole nother conversation. But
you actually, on that track, I mean, obviously you know the words, but you predicted like the post-truth kind of news era. Do you know what I mean? You sort of alluded to the fact in that song that it's all made up. Do you know what I mean? You can't...
Right.
And I actually... I remember I was listening thinking, fucking, you had the, you called this like... Mm-hmm. How long ago was that? 2011? Was it?
I think it came out. I think it came out 2011. I think that was the year that the album dropped.
But that could have come. So what you said, particularly in that little bit, you could have said now. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's pretty. Like, you know, I think that it was. I know what you're saying, but it was like you sort of predicting. It's almost like you're predicting a vibe that people are going to feel. Do you know what I mean? In this country, it's really interesting. Like,
I think, yeah, maybe, you know. Do you know what? Yeah, I'll take that credit. No, just because
I will take that credit.
Well,
I'm foreseeing the future. You know, I guess I'll take that. No, that's big of you, bro.
Do you know what I mean? I'll accept that one. Profit. No, yeah, I'll give you that.
What,
one.
What? I'm a social profit.
I didn't want to say profit, but like that's. That's that's what I'm basically saying, Jess.
No, he's actually asking, are you a man from the future? I mean, we were discussing it earlier.
But it was like that. I was thinking, fucking hell, that's like...
Yeah, it's kind of sad, really, though, isn't it? Like, it's like, you know, it's cool. I can pat myself on the back and say, yeah, you were on point with that one. Yeah. But for all the wrong reasons, right? Do you feel me?
I don't know what you're talking about. I think we're in a fantastic state. Yeah. I don't think Britain's ever better.
You've made a correct prediction, but the world has gone to shit. I mean, there's pluses and minuses.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
That's like, the thing.
The thing is, like, we're talking about social networking.
Yeah.
You sort of did something that was almost like...
Right,
I'm talking about the postman. This is like... Now, forgive me if I get this wrong, but you... So initially what came out was a video of a guy looking through the blinds, right?
Yeah.
And you come up and deliver his post, right? And it's just the tagline for it is, I think Jess is my postman, right?
Yeah.
And so people... if you look at the comments, I'm thinking, fucking, I feel that is Jess, you know? Like, And then it was actually... You'd set it all up, basically, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So how long was it between... Because it's starting over, right? Was the video that
it led into?
Yeah,
it led into.
So how long was it between the postman sort of hoax, if you like, and then you putting out the video? Was that was a deliberate? Obviously, it's a deliberate strategy. But what sort of? How did you come to that sort of the idea?
The idea kind of did come out of that. The almost like social networks kind of creeping in.
Yeah.
And being like, right, I'm so kind of removed from this, like,
right.
And you know, and not even just being removed. I think what happened was really when the internet. It sounds so old. We're sitting here talking about
we're old men,
when the internet began,
and you can hear about stuff from across the world.
Do you know what I mean?
It's, news will just literally churn, and the story will just be cut and pasted and put everywhere else. But hey, that's 2017.
It's crazy. I know, and we no longer have to like have our feet sticking out the bottom of the car. Like, you know what I mean? The good old days.
Oh, I miss the Flintstone days.
But just the whole thing of like, I'm so removed from this. Pre-social network, you had like your kind of MySpace kind of era, right?
Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't really partake.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of stuff happening at that time where people would be putting stuff up online.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
People would be like, oh, you've got a MySpace. No, I haven't.
Yeah.
You've got a website. What? Sorry?
Yeah.
So that kind of just turned me off from it even more. I was like, well, right. I've got to compete with people pretending to be me.
Yeah.
Or, oh, like, I ain't got time for that. This doesn't interest me. I'm interested in records and songs and music. I'm not really, you know, I like the computer as a tool to get some. I don't need it as like a thing to give my energy to.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like,
sure.
It's meant to give me its energy.
Give
me your processing power to do these jobs that, you know what I mean? To process information that we can't in a way that we can't. So anyway, so I kind of removed myself so much, and then it became kind of like, well, the only way you can promote yourself now is through the internet.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, really? Okay. And I thought, well, no, how do I, you know, I could turn this to my advantage that nobody knows what I'm doing or what I eat for breakfast or where I, you know, everyone else is, you know, we kind of, this thing had started now where it's like, if you put up every little thing you do every single day for the whole world to see, you will get followers. Followers will sell records. And
it's funny you say that, though, because, like, you know, like, there's a real sense of humour with that video and with a lot of those kind of British hip-hop videos that sort of came out that you were like, hang on a minute, is this like, because it's all quite satirical, video and stuff. Like, was that a deliberate sort of idea? Because you're talking about, like, state of the nation, social commentary. Like, that was a big part of your lyrics. Like, when you know...
Like, with that, it was more, like, just an angle. I mean, it kind of is social commentary in itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
In a way, it's almost like some kind of, I don't know what you call that. Is that performance art, like hoaxing people? So I don't know what it is, but yeah, there definitely was like a creative, it wasn't just purely like a kind of a market, right? How do we make money? We've got to do this. It was kind of like, well, I want to raise awareness. I don't want to have to conform.
Yeah.
How do I flip it? And make the fact that I don't do any of that work to my advantage. So I guess in a way it kind of becomes a statement in itself.
In between,
but it was also kind of a necessity, because it was like, well, how do I turn it on its head? How do I kind of counteract this idea that, like, if I'm not online every day showing the world I'm alive, then, well, you're done. You're yesterday's news. It's like, well, no, surely if the music is still strong and relevant, that's what should matter.
Yeah.
But just a cat, you know, and it was so easy because people were so obsessed with that kind of stuff. So people started commenting and talking, and people didn't really know. Like, even people very close to me, they didn't really know. They might be like, well, he might be getting up in the morning.
So you got that,
I don't see him at the studio until after 2 PM. He may well be doing a post round. So it was amazing how it worked.
Weirdly, postman is the ideal job for a comedian, because, like, there's lots of, because it's in the morning, right? And then you've got the rest of the day,
right?
And then you do a gig in the evening. Do you know what I mean? It's perfect.
There you go. Like,
do you know what I mean?
Seriously, people, you know. So it was plausible.
Yeah.
But it hadn't been tangible. Yeah. Because I think to begin with, it was kind of like, oh, what can I do? I could be like working in the chicken shop, or you know, and then like,
chicken,
how are we going to do
mate.
That? How are we going to? Oh, see what I mean?
That's
I should have got in there.
Should have been like
we're
doing chickens.
Oh, geez,
that would have been.
But you know what? That's,
oh,
I don't know if you've looked at the comments recently on that video, but it's really funny because, like, it's people speculating, going, well, the outfit looks authentic and is in keeping with how Royal Mail outfit their placement. But if you look, there doesn't seem to be that much mail in his bag, so, which leads me to believe either he's at the end or the beginning of the... Do you know what I mean? Like, it's fucking... Like, people go in, like, properly. What do you listen to at the moment? Are you still into it as much as you, like, listen to other stuff as much as you used to be, or...?
Yeah, it's kind of like... I'm so cynical about it, but if I'm really honest, I probably do still, like, listen to rap music quite a lot. I kind of tend to think that I'm more removed from it than I am.
Yeah.
Because I guess the whole culture of it's changed so much that I am removed from what it used to be.
Right.
Because, you know, to me, a big part of being on the, like, really knowing what was popping musically, creatively, being on the kind of cutting edge of it, was about being in record shops and being at certain clubs and listening to certain radio shows, you know, and kind of plugging into that side of it. You were talking about it earlier. It's not that now, is it? It's just pull the phone out of your pocket and fish around, go to blogs, what are people promoting on socials? So it's very, you know, and for me, that's not... an ideal way of me finding music. I tend to kind of have this really, like, stush attitude and be like, well, if something's really good, it's going to get to me like by word of mouth.
Yeah. Maybe by post.
But exactly. But, you know, that'd be nice. Just send me, just mail me vinyl. That would be amazing. Just free vinyl just turning up. But, you know, I think to be fair, like, it kind of works most of the time. Because anything that is really good, when you kind of been doing what I've been doing for so long, it's so much, it's around me so much that I don't have to.
Yeah,
I don't
it comes to you.
Somebody else will say, yeah. Have you heard this? And yeah. Even if I go, whatever, and then the name will come up again.
Yeah.
And the name will come, oh, right, I need to check this now.
Yeah.
Because it's not, it wasn't just hype that day.
I remember a mate of mine like having like sort of he sort of had a go at me because he's going, you don't listen to enough new shit, right?
You don't listen to Lil Yachty, and yeah. Well, that's, really no,
but
that, upset
no, but that's what that's what happened to me, right? So basically, like a mate of mine goes, you don't listen to enough new shit. So I said, fuck it, I'm gonna like look, right? And like at that time that I looked on, I can't remember what website, some American hip hop website.
Right.
The two people they named were Lil Yachty and Future, right? So I was like, okay, I'll check these two people out. And I was like, oh my god, what the fuck is that?
Me,
what is
yeah.
that like? I depressed the shit out of me because I thought, oh my god, because this is being heralded as like the pinnacle.
Yeah,
like it
right.
was the way
right.
those two artists were presenting was like, you know, you got he'd done this and I was like, and the way that it was written about, right? That was amazing. The way it was written about was like it connected. It's like he talks about this and that, and if you're interested in hearing about that, he hits upon the struggle of growing up. And I was thinking, fuck, this sounds like really lyrical and like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I listened to it, I was like, oh my, what the fuck has happened to this music? Do you know what I mean? It's like, it was a good day and a half before I could like get myself back together. I was just like, oh my god, I'm so out of touch.
The whole podcast nearly got just cancelled. Like, it's over. it's over.
I call it. Just like, fuck it,
I can't do this anymore. We're changing the name to Hip Hop Ruined My Life.
Yeah, exactly.
When you do get me back, I can do that one as yeah. well. I can do Hip Hop Saved My Life, and then we can do Hip Hop Ruined My Life as well. I'm available for both.
Yeah, like, yeah.
The Jeremy Carl shit. Version.
Plug one, plug two. Guest plugs for you.
Jess, listen, man, I could talk to you for ages, but we've gone way over. It's been
appreciate
such
it,
a fucking honour. We hardly did any of the questions because
it's cool.
Sorry, Rupert.
You've been so eloquent on
we're
this.
We're coming
man.
Back to do Hip Hop Ruin My Life.
Mate,
so we'll do
mate, if you're up for
ready,
doing it,
do
if you're up for doing
yeah,
it,
I'm
we'll
there.
Do it, man. All right, wicked. Is there anything you want to sort of plug that you're doing at the moment?
Plug yeah. this podcast and
cool.
you know, keep listening to it.
Thank
you. Know
you.
What
yes.
I mean? For real, keep doing it. It's, you know, it's.
Listen, if you haven't, and I can't imagine you haven't if you listen to this podcast, but Jest is properly hip-hop royalty, so make sure you check out his stuff. Jolyon, I suppose I should give you an opportunity to fucking plug whatever shit you're doing.
Nah, I'm doing some shit on TV, watching
yeah,
on
cool.
iPlayer and that. But serious, like, so nice to meet you. Like,
dude,
real honour.
Been a pleasure,
like,
man.
Amazing.
Thanks
cool.
for having me.
See you later. Bye.
Peace. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.